Gemara, Shall he gather the zaket? Shall he rach the zaket? And Rashi, the Ramasul, Shall he rach the zaket ba'avonam, there's a lishna achrina, Shall he yidchaku, Garcina, Loshan docha, Shall he yiru the sachnun and malkach, Yoser midah. Rashi here is the shitaso in an almost strange way. It's mamash the shitaso. It's the shitaso of the first half of Rashi. The term shlo yirachku zaketz and shlo yidachku zaketz appear to be opposite. That one should not work towards the distancing of the case, and that one should not pressure towards the hastening of the case. Of course, it's ironic, and perhaps more than that, that these two possibilities show up as alternatives for the second of the shuls that they be added to the list. Rabbi Levi. There is an Amora called Levi. I don't know if it's the same Amora that he was being referred to as Rabbi Levi or whether it's a different Amora. In any case, I suppose it must be a different Amora. It's Levi and it's Rabbi Levi. I think Levi, I was listening to Chutzlaret, but there was a Levi who was a Talmud of Rebbe, then gone by the title of Rabbi, he might have had the title of Rabbi at some point. In any case, the notion of richul kakeis or dichul kakeis can be understood in on an attitudinal level, or an actions expressed in attitudes, which is of course related, or it could be addressed in the very practical. Way. Oddly enough, in a very practical way, in terms of richul kakeis, it means with averos. Averos are merachik the case, nikudah. It's not a question of whether the case is beckoning us when our averos are there, whether it's not beckoning us, you know, whether we're tzaddikim gmurim, except that we're not interested in the case, as I had suggested. But, you know, averos are merachik the case, nikudah. So if it's bad to do averos at a merachik case, and if we're looking at its opposites, so yidachku is a case, what could be the opposite? We shouldn't do mitzvahs? That can't be. We should certainly do mitzvahs. But what? No buts. We should still certainly do mitzvahs. So how could there be, given that it's mitzvahs which are makayev the case, which are dochek the case, how could it be that men should be encouraged not to be dochek the case? Shouldn't we be exemplary Jewish people and thereby leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu no choice but to bring the case? So Rashi gives it a twist. Shelo yirbu b'tachnunim al kach yosem yidai. And in terms of Ma'asim Tovim, there's no question that there's no limit to the amount or to the quality of the Ma'asim Tovim that we should do. Arasot. Without the legal. But an area in which we have reshus, perhaps, we could say, to increase or to decrease, is in tefillah. How much are we going to dive into the case? Tefillah, and again, we have to drop the anthropomorphism, or the concern with it, I should say, in this context. Tefillah is a pressure on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, beginning of Parshas Beschanan, says that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalo 515 tefillos to be allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. What? Yes. how much was it turned down? Do we need him to come? It's so cold outside. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tefillot to ask Hashem to allow him to enter Eretz Yisrael. 515 is the gematria of Va'eschanan. That's what the Medrash is based on. Va'eschanan el Hashem. At the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Al kol sef daber elai." Don't speak to me anymore. So Rashi says, "The emotion when I rabble, I'll tell such that very that." So I must be this is Rashi just says, "Shlo yomu harav kamakosha v'atamu kamatzarva." Umatzir. The bracha rav la charben yizeh shem alucha rav tzuv atzifunach. But there is a medrash, and I'm sorry that I'm not remembering it, its source properly, that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, stop, no more tefillah. Because if you daven more tefillah, then I'll have to let you in. And I don't want to. That Kaviyachol, the Akadosh Baruch Hu takes our tefillahs very seriously and is affected by them, has his derech, and does not want to be swayed from where the essential role that he has for us in this matter because of our extreme tefillah pressure in a particular direction. We should daven for the case? Yeah, we should certainly daven for the case. Yashman Esra every day. We daven 3 times a day, we daven for the case. We in Berechas HaMazon, we daven for the case. Even on the tefillos of Shabbos and Yom Tov, we say, V'tzachazenu einenu v'shir chodzim v'rachim. There's no stopping of the tefillos for the case. And the very important part of the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah is for the case. But Rashi says there is some limit. That Hashem wants our intervention up to a point in bringing changes in the course of history through tefillah. But at least in the most cataclysmic change, which is the geula, there are limits to how much you must have. What that limit is, I would imagine we don't approach it anywhere nearly. There's no use in having proper kavana in the fullest sense of that term, in the three tefillos we say every day, in Berachas HaMazon, in the tefillos of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and so on. But there is a role for the Jews in the Galus. There's more than a role. It's apparently a necessity of a point. It's in our context, it's a it's a kapara savonos. But we see that those in Tzrayim, al derech hapshat, was not because of any adon. It was simply necessary as part of the Brit Ben Amtarim. We're put in the Kur Barzel, and we are ironized, metalized, whatever we are in that context. And no doubt this Galus has the same effect. A comparable effect. And an important aspect, more than aspect, an essential nature of the galus is that we try to get out of it. I once heard Rabbi Blech give a tremendous mashal. There's a famous naturalist by the name of Audubon. So his son to be a naturalist of sorts also, was also a famous naturalist, I think, after him. But anyway, once his son was there somewhere, in nature there, and he saw a moth trying to get out of its cocoon to become a butterfly, I guess it's right. And he saw how crippling, how difficult it was to strike, like he's making with his wings, trying to break it, and he couldn't break it, and he just kept trying, and kept trying, couldn't break it. So out of mercy for the thing, he took a little razor blade, or whatever it was, or maybe took his, he slid it open, and he did it successfully. He didn't harm the insect, and it burst out, and went out, and dropped and died. He was shattered. Went to his father, and that's what happened. He said, there's a few lessons here. The efforts that the butterfly makes in trying to get out of the cocoon is not just a battle to get out, in which you could use your help. In the process of it trying to get out, its muscles are formed, shaped, and strengthened, and apparently made and strengthened. That as a result of that exercise, when it finally does get out, it can fly. If it succeeds in getting out too soon, it can't fly. Its muscles, its bones are not in the right place, its muscles are not strong enough, and it can't do it. So it's the effort towards getting out itself that makes the butterfly capable of living as it could once it does get out. So that the efforts are not in vain, they're not just a pain in the neck that you have to get through. The efforts are part and parcel of the process of the gula itself. They are the necessary preparations that we need in order to become the galui. This is true, no doubt, in many things that we're not acutely aware of, and things that we experience as difficulty and interference, but there are actually preparation and formulation for what comes next. This is one of them. I'll start the next, and then maybe we'll stop at 11:27, and then have another 5 minutes. This is one point. There's another point. It's not less important. There's a major question in ethics is whether the ends justify the means. And I suppose it can be said in a general way that the utilitarian approach to this question is that if the means are a greater good than the excuse me, if the ends are greater good than the evil brought about by the means, then it should. A more religious perspective, or at least moral perspective, I think, is that, except with very rare exception, they never justify the means. We can't make such cheshbon. Something is asur, it's asur. Finished. There are terms in halakha that have references along those lines. Halal Shabbat Achat, Kadeshi Shemu Shabbatot Harbeh. And there is a question of where that fits into the overall issue of Pikuach Nefesh Gachay Kol Torah Kula. It's a sugya in its own right, and certainly the notion of v'chai behem v'lo shiyomus behem, stating that life is in itself a value which is in conflict with mesiris nefesh, and that it's not the question of the ends justifying the means, but that there is an intrinsic value in the protection of one's life, which is there all along in the context of this conflict is very important. But along came Rav Kook, and I'm sure he's quoting from very early and important sources. He puts it most carefully that I've seen, is that in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that the ends don't justify the means. It's that the means are the essence, and the end is the effect. If you take the truer expression of the term Rachmana Liboy, that what Hashem wants is our efforts, what Hashem wants is our intentions, what Hashem wants is our trying to do the right thing. And that's ultimately more important than the result of getting where we're trying to get, spiritually speaking. The fact that the road is long and arduous and difficult is not a problem. Quite the contrary, that's where it's at. Cook says the reason why the Torah doesn't talk about Olam Haba is because that's not where it's at. Olam Haba is the end. It's the conclusion. It's where we're trying to get. What the world is really about is trying to get there, not about getting there. One's efforts towards developing one's midos correctly is more important to Hashem than the perfection of the human being at the end. And that's why the mitzvahs, which are rather practical and of a from a spiritualistic perspective, of mundane nature, putting on tzitzis and putting on tefillin and lama tesmalachas of Shabbos would have to be avoided, and all of Shas, as we well know, and plenty of chumash, is more crucial than the philosophic metaphysical portions of the Torah, because this is the process. It's the process that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us primarily. Rabbi Kaufman said, "Well, lecha amochal v'gmar v'lata ben charin di batel mimena." It's not just a notion of responsibility, that tedalacha, that your responsibility does not include mirat amlacha, but it does include getting as far as you can towards there. V'lata ben charin di. It's actually a statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goal for us, that we be completely immersed in the isuk of the melacha Hashem. And that the Gemara is we'll get there. Well, we'll get there. But the isuk is the primary from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Rav Kook explains this in Arot HaTorah, either the last or the next, I think the next to last paragraph on Perek Chet, I think. It's a long paragraph. You know, it's the Pursuha to the case. Our real efforts, meaning the kind of life that we live, which does bring us towards the case, is really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and that we'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there. But our efforts are not less important. In fact, they're in a sense more important than our arrival itself. And therefore, these efforts shouldn't be shortchanged. And there's no need to find shortcuts. Back to the old mashal. The Derech HaYashar is what's called for, and when we're ready for the case, we'll get there. That's why the whole Torah is a preparation, in fact. Or you know, in the Torah, we never make it to Eretz Yisrael. We make it to Eretz Yisrael after the Torah. Because it's the process itself, which is the derech itself, which is so much more crucial.